What's going on out there, friends? And thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and joining me, as always, the king of wheeze, Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in beautiful Skeleton Studios. It's getting creepy around here, folks.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't got my door chime changed, so now when you ring the doorbell, it sounds like a witch cackling. Right, so
of course, Luke one of said,
"Yeah." So, the company we use, you can change it, and they're festive, so they always change them. So, even right now with Halloween, I think I have like 10 different choices from like a werewolf howling,
a fancy doorbell.
Hey, listen, I didn't sign up specifically for this; it just turned out in my favor. Sometimes things do, right?
Very rarely.
Luke, of course, yeah, very rarely. Luke is really into Halloween, as everybody knows. He's going, in fact, tonight to watch the new Halloween Ends, which is like, what, part 75 of this, yeah. Mike Myers guy?
114 episodes.
Listen, look, you know, when you're younger.
You know what's going to kill Mike Myers now, right?
What?
Old age. That's what's going to end up killing him.
I mean, listen, we talk about this and we complain about it all the time, so I'm sure people are sick of hearing us beat this box, but, I mean, can they just... They just keep making the same things over and over. It's like, come on. Can't you come up with a new serial killer? An unstoppable serial killer? Couldn't you do that very easily?
No.
Why not start a new genre? Instead of just always Jason, always Mike Myers.
Come on, man, because that's what sells.
I saw there
just... But does it?
Was there like Fast and the Furious 32 coming out?
You've got them all. You ought to be able to tell
me. Yeah. Cars jumping off of buildings and landing on top of submarines. I mean, it's a bit much.
Nah.
Right? Have you ever watched any of those movies for real?
I think I've watched, okay, this is going to be bad for everybody that's ever into these shows. The first one I ever saw was Tokyo Drift, and that didn't even have the original guys in it, right?
I don't think I saw that one either.
That's the first one that I saw. And then I saw one where I think they were in Brazil and The Rock was in it. There's like a train at the beginning, and I think something, and I didn't pay a lot. Look, I don't pay a lot of attention. Here's my problem, and I'm going to go ahead. I'll get off the old man soapbox after this. Here's my problem with movies. When I go to a movie, if you want me to just dispel all thoughts of reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want me to enjoy the movie, it has to be fantasy or sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make me watch or have me watch a film, rather, that is in today's time.
Mm-hmm.
And it be a little out there, like, oh, I'm supposed to believe that's happened when I know it can't. Like, I have to either be completely off planet or it has to be like a documentary. Otherwise, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
You don't think like the United States is in a pickle and instead of getting like the Navy SEALs or some Delta Forces, they like, you know what? There's this group of hot rodders. We got to hire them. And then they're going to go stop this international drug lord.
And this is coming from two guys that watch ridiculous movies and shows. Yeah. Right? Like, I get it. That's just me. But I'm not just picking on that franchise. I'm that way with every movie.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I watch the Marvel films, but I can't say that I'm a huge Marvel fan. Like, I'll watch them here and there.
Yeah, but you get that because they're superhuman. They have superpowers, right? They're superhuman. Yeah. So you can believe it. I'm with you. When it's supposed to be like a real movie and there's like one person fighting 500 people. And like nobody can beat them up. Nobody can shoot them. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. And also, look, no knock against him because I really do like all the films that he's in. But Liam Neeson needs to stop being an assassin. The only thing he's sneaking up on is a glass of Metamucil. Nobody's beating. He's not beating anybody.
I thought you were going to say Steven Seagal. He's still making good movies, man.
If you've got to start coloring your hair.
Start. He's been doing that for like 25 years.
That's when you stop. Right. Stop making movies when you got to wash the gray away.
No lie. I saw a movie with him in it not too long ago, and I was watching it just kind of as a goof. Like,
is this the one where they sped it up? You told me where it shows the fight scenes in fast
forward. Well, they do that sometimes. They use body doubles a lot. And I swear to God, him himself, I don't think he was ever standing. Like every scene he was in, he was sitting down. So he's like a sniper, but he's like Chris Kyle, but like he's sniping, but he's like sitting in a desk chair like this. And like he never gets up and does any action. And when he goes upstairs and stuff, it's a body double.
Because he's too, he can't walk up the look.
Go ahead, say it.
No. Anyway, speaking of something crazy, folks, I've got something crazy here. I have to drop on Fizzy.
Hit me with it.
Okay, so you've been talking about the crawlers. We've talked about them in the past. Listen to this. Salon sent me this because I think you're going to really enjoy it. It took place reportedly in a Polish home. So it's not just here. We've getting them around the world now, these crazy, creepy crawlers. Listen to this. It says, I had an experience when I was around 12 years old. I'm 21 now, so it was quite a while ago. I want to know if anyone else has had a similar one. I haven't been able to explain it to this day. It was definitely the strangest thing that's ever happened to me. It's also kind of out there. Nobody believes me to this day. Anyway, this happened sometime in July of 2013. I lived in rural Poland. I woke up at around 3 a.m. and couldn't fall back asleep. I started looking around my room. I was contemplating getting on my computer, but was just too lazy to actually get up, so I just laid there until something caught my attention in the hallway. My door was slightly open, so I could see just a little bit. Now, before I tell you what I saw, let me give you a quick picture of what my house looked like back then. When you exited my room, there was this long hallway. In the middle of it, to the left, was the entrance to the kitchen, and the right in front, to the right, was the door to the bathroom. Now, at the end of the hallway back then was the front door with a little window on top, so the moonlight kind of seeped in. It must have been a full moon or close to it because I could see the hallway was decently lit. Anyhow, what caught my attention was this small head peeking at me behind the slightly open door. It was really close to the ground. At first, I didn't really think much of it, and after a short while, I thought to myself that it must be my dog. My dog is Maltese. He's small, and back then he used to sleep above my head on my pillow. So I reached my hand to see if he was up there, and sure enough, he was sleeping. That's when I got kind of confused. We didn't have any other animals in the house, and I lived with my mom and my grandfather. Both of them were asleep, and they sure wouldn't peek at me in the middle of the night on what seemed like all fours. So I quickly looked back at the front door, and I saw, or I'm sorry, quickly looked back at the bedroom door, and I saw this thing hiding behind the door. Now, I don't know how long I lay there in shock, but eventually I decided to get up and investigate. Investigate, I mean run to my mother's room. I quickly got up, ran to the light switch, turned the lights on, and fully opened the door. And when I did, I saw this thing's legs. It was entering the kitchen. It was on all fours and didn't run. It seemed like it didn't even care about me as it was moving kind of slow, like a casual walk. Its skin was grayish and it looked like it was dirty. It had these black spots on it, maybe dirt, I don't know. Its legs were skinny and lanky. Once again, I was paralyzed. I don't even know if I was scared at that moment. I think I was just shocked at what I was seeing. When it disappeared in the kitchen, I ran to the bathroom and locked myself in there. I didn't come out for a long time, and when I did, nothing was there. Nobody woke up either, not even my dog, and he always chases people when they run. Now, I have no idea what that was. All I know is that I for sure wasn't dreaming. I'll never forget the feeling in my stomach when I saw this thing. Complete dread. LS.
Whoa. Creepy, like a ghoulie. Remember the movie Ghoulies?
Yeah, but it's on all fours moving around. It makes me think of like one of those pale humanoids.
Yeah.
But first of all.
How did it get in the house, first of all?
Exactly. And why'd you lock yourself in the bathroom without yelling? You're just going to let that thing go after your dog and your parents and your grandparent and all that stuff? Come on, man.
Solid point. I would have been already out the front door and probably 2 or 3 miles down the road.
Screaming.
Screaming the entire time. Yeah.
Daddy, you'd come out of your bedroom with your Glock locked back, right? There's going to be bullet holes in the refrigerator.
I can't imagine. How could you ever just go back to sleep the next night or the next week? You know what I mean? Just like, I wonder what that was crawling around in my room.
Yeah. With lanky, grayish, spotted legs.
There's no way I could get past that.
But like you just brought up, first of all, how does it get into your home? And what's it doing in there? It's like it's toying, again, toying with you to get some kind of benefit from your emotional upheaval of seeing it, the distress that you're in.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it, because there's no point. It's not in there stealing marshmallows and Doritos and going to get a soda. And it's not doing that. Of course, it might have been. They were hiding in the
bathroom.
It was
going in the kitchen, remember? Yeah. So maybe
there were some good leftovers or something. You know, I don't know.
In the cookie jar.
Right. But it's always that thing about this is what's the point of it? Because I understand the interaction. I understand if it touches somebody, if it's taking things, you get that. But when you get all of these encounters that are just unnerving interactions, the only thing it gets out of that is some sort of energy sense from the person that they're scaring.
Yeah, I don't think it's physical. I think it's like not a hallucination, but like it you're seeing something that's not really there. But like I said, what
it is and it isn't.
Yeah, it's like a demon or something messing with you, trying to frighten you, right? But speaking of something that is physical, physical.
Oh.
I know, I can't talk today. I'm talking about Sasquatch. Check this out. This young couple in Utah were out walking down the Keith Jardine Juniper Trail when they had an encounter with a jet black Sasquatch that started hurtling rocks towards them.
I've seen the Flying Elvis's Utah chapter before.
Right? Check this out. It says, my wife and I are both extremely outdoorsy people. I'm from a remote area in the north slope of the Ute on the north slope of the mountains of northern Utah. We had been hiking in the Keith Jardine, I'm sorry, folks, it's not really Keith Jardine, Jardine Juniper Trail a lot last year, as well as some other trails in northern Utah to get ready for hunting season. Now, the Jardine Trail is one of our favorites, and we spent an awful lot of time up there. In August of 2021, we started hiking in the evening because it was so hot during the daytime. Now, we've done a couple of evening hikes during the first part of August with absolutely no problems whatsoever. Usually, we'd make it back to the truck by dark. On the night that it happened, which I believe was August 10th, I lost track of time, we got a little bit of a late start. We're above the main switchbacks, which are about 3 miles in when it gets dark on us, so we decided to turn around. We both working full-time jobs, and we were hiking in this area about 3 times a week at this point. So we do not always do the full route each time. Usually just a 5 to 7 mile power hike round trip. We passed by a couple of bikers on the way out. We were moving fast and quiet as we were making our way down the switchbacks, just enjoying the late summer stillness. In the large timber, the slope is steep, but the trail winds through the large trees nicely and gives you glimpses of the basin below and high peaks above. It was twilight, maybe 15 minutes or so until we needed our headlamps to see. We came around the slight turn in the trail right before this large hairpin turn at the bottom of the slope, and almost as if caught by surprise, I saw this massive jet black figure go from standing to crouching through a small gap in the timber about 50 yards ahead and just downslope of the trail. Looking back, I'm surprised that I did not freeze or turn my back, but we just kept moving briskly. It was too dark to see detail, but light enough to see our surroundings quite well. Sometimes you think your mind is playing tricks on you in the twilight hours, especially in timber with so many shadows. It seemed just like seconds after seeing the creature, I heard a loud crack against a prominent large tree directly upslope from us on our left. There may have been two cracks, I really cannot remember. I turned around, thinking that my wife was messing with me and throwing rocks. As I turned, my eyes caught hers, and I could tell she was not throwing anything, as we were both tired and frightened. My mind started racing a million miles an hour, trying to figure out what animal could even do that. We were frozen there, trying to figure out what was going on. I know a rock flew directly over us at this time, and I saw it smack the same tree with unbelievable force. You could feel the air from it as it zipped by. It reminded me of my baseball days, hearing the seams of a fastball whizzing through the air. I think I quietly mumbled, "I think someone's messing with us." You know, your mind does funny things when you're full of adrenaline. I could tell that we were hit with the realization at the same time, without saying a word to one another, just by looking at her facial expression, which was, "Oh, we are not alone, and that's not a human." Now, I do not feel in danger, but needless to say, the feeling was going to get worse. I ripped my hand down out of my pack as we moved, but it was as if my arm was paralyzed at my side, with the gun pointing down to the ground. I felt helpless, even with my 10mm in my hand. It was strange. I'm the firearms department head for one of the largest gun dealers in Utah. I feel more comfortable with my gun in my hand than most people do. I probably have more trigger time than your average person. But nevertheless, I felt strange and I couldn't make myself pull my gun up towards the creature. I don't know what was going on. I've had a couple of guys I've worked with go back up there a couple nights later. And we stopped at the same gap in the timber so I could get a better gauge of its size by seeing the pocket where it stood and better lighting. It had to have been massive. The interesting thing is, when we were right next to this thing, the foliage was too thick to see anything. I also had the guys throw similar-sized rocks as hard as they could at point-blank range at the tree in the same area to compare the sounds. My blood ran cold as I heard their rocks make little pinging sounds in comparison to what that thing was throwing. Me and my wife just stood there on the trail. The thing disappeared into the woods, and we never saw it again. Thanks, JG. So, man, he's just on a hike with his wife, and they encountered Sasquatch hurtling large rocks at him. And he said, like, he went up there with coworkers, and they couldn't throw rocks near that size or that hard. But the interesting part of the story to me is I've heard this several times where people have a gun, and for whatever reason, I don't know if Sasquatch is using telekinesis or something like that, but they just don't feel like they need to shoot at it. Some people say they actually have it in their scope and it looks too human.
Yeah.
Some people say that they physically can't bring themselves to point their guns at it. You know, I don't know, man. If this is a flesh and blood creature, you know, I don't know. Now, I know this is crazy, right? Because we're talking about something that's unproven, but I don't like the stories where, you know, it's speaking to you with telepathy or it's controlling you somehow.
So you don't like a hippie Sasquatch?
No, man.
You like woodland protector Sasquatch?
Yeah, and just like a real like North American ape. That's the Sasquatch story I like.
Well, and
but it's not up to me, you know.
Yeah. Well, you were right though about. It is strange, the reports that we get of the way people, when they see it. Like, okay, a quick tangent. When you grow up hunting, especially with firearms, like you and I did our whole life, like I don't remember a moment in my life that there weren't guns in it, and I wasn't taught how to handle them, this mm-hmm. whole thing, right? So as you grow up with that, when you're in the woods, especially as you're hunting and things, you're always taught the first thing is to know what's behind your target, right? So when you grow up as a child rifle hunting or gun hunting and all that, you kind of get this idea of you know what not to shoot at. And human form is the main thing, right? Like, that's the one thing.
Yeah.
That's you watch for horses and cattle here and all that. It's so ingrained. I wonder if that's also part of it. Is the minute you get your gun, you can't. You're so overwhelmed with the fact of, like, it's not really threatening me. Standing out there throwing rocks and screaming isn't really a threat, right? It's posturing. But it's not a threat.
Yeah, it's like a bluff charge, right? It's
exactly. Now, my hat's off to those guys, those PHs and all the dudes up, you know, that hunt up in the West and all up in Alaska and anywhere that are dealing with bear that bluff charge and they don't shoot them. Because I've seen those guys, just same as the PHs in Africa, stand down those animals as they run at them. PH they don't react.
Professional hunter, yeah. For those that don't know.
So I get it with those, right? Like, I'm
following your logic.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. It might be an overwhelming sense of you can't push past it. They're not threatening you and they're human shaped. It's very, very,
well-trained hunters. That's why I'm always shocked by these stories where people shoot their brother-in-law or something. And like, they just, and the story always talks about how the bushes were, I'm like, who's just shooting when they hear a noise? Like, if you don't see not only what you're trying to shoot, but like where you're trying to hit it. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, but obviously there's these hunters. Every year you hear seven or eight of them getting shot. I mean, they just hear a noise and they just shoot.
I think about people like that, probably the way people look at my, like, disc golf game, right? The real good disc golfers are like, that guy's trash. I'm like, yeah, I am. I mean, it's the same thing. There's different levels. Like, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
It's craziness. But it does seem that way. It does seem like it's almost, maybe we give them that power. Maybe we think it's that whenever the way it's just ingrained in you. But also, too, they talk about when you see their face. Like, guys people have talked about having them in their scope and seeing their face and been like, dude, it looks like a caveman. Like, I can't shoot it.
Yeah, I don't think I would shoot him. I think I'd be just intrigued. Like, holy cow, I'm lucky enough to be one of the people that actually gets to see one of these things.
But like we talked about, I would probably tell you and that would be about it. I would never bring it up on the show.
True.
You can't do that.
Yeah,
you can't do that. Speaking of something you can't do, I have to leave you with this right here.
Let's take a break, and when we get back from the break, you can lay it on us, okay?
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
All right, stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Thank you.
one very weird area of strange encounters with creatures from beyond our understanding are those involving winged creatures of all shapes and sizes. These entities prowl the skies occasionally, popping in to make themselves known and to fuel discussion and debate. Their origins are unknown. Some cases of mysterious winged entities are especially weird, like the Mothman of Point Pleasant, or the Bat Squatch seen in Washington State. What about the Owlman of Cornwall? Or, one of my favorites, a bat-like woman seen flying over the jungles of Vietnam back in 1969. What about pterosaurs? We once interviewed a man named Paul Nation about his encounters with the ropin, also known as the Indava bird. Many people have claimed to have seen a real-life pterosaur, or at least a similar type beast. What are these creatures? And why do so many sightings continue to happen? On today's show, I'm going to cover some of these strange sightings. Let's begin. 1903 was an interesting year. The first World Series was played. Crayola crayons came into existence, and a small town in Iowa had a run-in with a strange winged creature. It was a seemingly average day in Van Meter, Iowa, on September 29th, 1903. However, the creature known as the Van Meter Visitor would radically alter this average day. The Van Meter Visitor appeared out of, apparently, nowhere, which is surprising considering its size. It was reported by dozens of witnesses as roughly an 8-foot-tall, half-man, half-winged beast. It had a horn on its head, and at the tip shot out a blinding and disorienting white light. This kind of sounds similar to the Jersey Devil, only larger, especially the details about the leathery wings. Although unlike the Jersey Devil, the Van Meter Visitor seems to have a development that specifically works to disorient and confuse people that see it. Some people even said that the light temporarily blinded them. This first event took place downtown, right in the heart of the city's business district, which meant many credible witnesses and town pillars came out in defense of seeing the Van Meter Visitor. Its first appearance, though, happened at 1 a.m. U.G. Griffith was the first person, it is believed, to have experienced the Van Meter Visitor. Initially, he thought it was a spotlight moving around a rooftop and woke up annoyed and ready to confront whoever was behind it. When he approached the source of the light, something huge jumped to a different rooftop all the way across the street and then completely disappeared into the night. The very next night, around the same time, Dr. Alcott, the town doctor, was fast asleep in a room above his office. Like Griffith, he was also awoken by a bright light shining into his window. And, also like Griffith, he rushed out to confront whoever was shining that light in the window. This time, he was armed. He had a gun in his hand, and he was shocked to discover the Van Meter Visitor, which he describes as a humanoid with bat-like wings. He reported that he also saw the blinding light that came from a blunt horn on the creature's forehead. Shocked, but still well in control of his faculties, he attempted to shoot the creature down a shocking 5 times. After firing, he noticed that there was absolutely no effect on the creature and fled back into his home. But this wasn't the end, no. Once again, the Van Meter Visitor made its nightly rounds, this time shining its light onto a watchful Clarence Dunn. By this time, and after 2 encounters by trusted people in the community, rumors were just beginning to swirl. Dunn had actually heard about Dr. Alcott's experiences, although it's not clear if he had heard about Griffith's, and decided to keep watch throughout the night. he posted up in the bank and brought his shotgun along to keep him company. Should the visitor stop by? That's at least what he thought, although he still believed clever burglars were behind the strange sightings. Like the other two men, around 1 a.m., the Van Meter visitor made himself known. Unlike the other experiences, though, this time Dunn said he heard a strangling noise outside his home, and that is what pushed him to investigate. Not a light shining through the window. Almost instantaneously, as he moved to open the door, he was hit at close range, right in the face, through the window with the blinding light of the Van Meter visitor. When the light briefly let up, Dunn instinctively fired his shotgun at this strange and mysterious being, right through the bank's front window. Like the shots by Dr. Alcott, it had absolutely no effect on the visitor. The next morning, outside of the bank, he saw several sets of, get this, three-toed footprints, which is another call back to the Jersey Devil. And he said he made plaster casts of them, although they've never been seen. More sightings were reported throughout the next 3 days. This includes O.V. White, who was an owner of a local hardware store, who said he saw the monster asleep on a telephone pole, and he tried to shoot it. Interestingly, instead of using his light or making a strangling noise, the Van Meter visitor expressed his annoyance by releasing a terrible smell towards Mr. White's neighbor, a person named Sidney Gregg. They also saw the creature at the same time dismount the pole and then fly through town, apparently heading towards the old coal mine on the outskirts of town. Most interestingly, and semi-related to the Mothman rather than the Jersey Devil, is the experience at the mine. Now, fed up after 3 days of their town being terrorized by this winged beast, at sundown, several people from Van Meter formed a posse, and they geared up and headed towards the mines, where Sidney had said that the creature had flown to the previous day. Now, by this time, they said strange noises were being reported coming from the abandoned coal mines. A local allegedly described these sounds as though Satan and a regiment of imps were coming forth for a battle. When the men got to the mines, they found the Van Meter visitor wasn't alone. Instead, it was accompanied by a second creature, which was spotted emerging from the mine and taking flight off into the night sky. Before they could confront either creature, they had both fled. The men decided to see if the creatures would return. They eventually did, and the crowd opened fire on the creatures. Apparently, they didn't think very much of the previous attempts to bring down the Van Meter visitor with the gunshots. Once again, despite the increased numbers and more firepower, they were still shocked when the creatures were completely immune to their firepower. Unsure of what to do next or how to handle these creatures that could not easily be brought down, they decided to simply brick up the abandoned mines to ensure that these things could never see the light of day again. Perhaps there was another way out. Perhaps they flew away into the night. But one thing's for sure, they were never seen again in Van Meter, Iowa. So what were these people seeing? What an incredible story. You know, this town being terrorized by multiple pterosaurs. I mean, it just seems impossible to imagine. And again, stories like the Dog Man, Pale Crawlers, or whatever. Like, there's these stories where people have actually tried to shoot them and nothing even happens. It's very, very odd. I've got some more sightings, though. Check this one out. This one happened on February 25th, 2019, near Darien, Wisconsin. It says that this person who wants to remain anonymous, their initials are NV, she said she had observed a winged being early that morning around 5:30 a.m. near Darien, Wisconsin. NV was traveling west on Creek Road on her way to work. As she approached the Turtle Creek Bridge, she said she observed a large winged being that she described as a flying witch. The being, she says, was at a treetop altitude and was gliding in her direction. She said it was early dawn, but there was enough light for Envy to make out a form. The winged being suddenly descended towards Envy's car and barely missed colliding with the hood. Envy stated that the being's wingspan was much wider than her car, and that the body was a brownish color, like the color of a paper bag. The body looked feminine and slight. The wings were bat-shaped and very large. She never noticed the wings flapping. The speed in which it descended was not natural, she said. The face was unremarkable, almost blank. Envy noted that she swerved and almost hit a guardrail. Envy did not notice where the winged being flew after the encounter. Now, Envy is of Hispanic descent and stated that the being reminded her of a witch that was described to her by her grandmother when she was a child. I want to point out a few things odd. The sighting itself was not enough that I've heard in so many other stories. First of all, the wings not moving, not flapping. You'd be surprised at the number of sightings of these winged type creatures where they said the thing moves, but the wings aren't flapping. So what is that? Is it just gliding? And how come every time someone sees them, they're always gliding? I don't know. There are like turkey vultures or buzzards that live in this part of Texas that will sit there and literally just soar around for hours in the Texas heat. And I'd never see them flapping their wings either. So maybe it's something like that. Very, very odd. Check this one out. This one happened on February 28th, 2019, not far away in Woodstock, Illinois. It says, I was outside Jewel Osco in Woodstock, Illinois, and I believe to have seen the same visual of an unusual being in the McHenry County Fairgrounds. It screeched at me, then charged the fence about 30 feet from the fence. It had a very bright green glowing eyes, and this thing had wings. It was all black in color, and its skin, it looked leathery and worn. It ran back towards the woods in the McHenry County Fairgrounds. I, of course, called the Woodstock Police Department, and they had county sheriffs respond to the location. Now, Lon Strickler attempted to get more information about this, and he filed a Freedom of Information Act request for any information pertinent to this incident, and he filed it with the McHenry County Sheriff's Office. And while an official report was never written, a 911 call, you know, some of the information from the 911 call was released. According to the incident, it details a report coming in at 2:46 a.m. on February 28, 2019, where an officer responded to the 911 call, of a man who said he'd seen a mysterious creature described as being 7 or 8 foot tall and wearing all black that charged at him from the fairgrounds, screeching at him while he was in the Jewel lot. It then retreated. The witness named the creature the Duffield Pond Swamp Monster. Since had the first sighting with the police involvement, the report then stated that the investigation was going to continue. So what kind of sighting is that? Did this person just have an overactive imagination, watched a couple of episodes of Jeepers Creepers, and then wanted to model a sighting after that? I don't know. Or did he truly see something bizarre? Seems to be an awful lot of like humanoids, flying humanoid sightings around Chicago, in the state of Illinois. This one too, coming from Illinois. I don't know what's going on in Illinois, folks. I've been to Chicago a few times, but this was years ago. I'm definitely going to be on the lookout if I'm in that area. Check this one out. This one comes from Wakanda, Illinois. And this happened on April 20th, 2014. Now, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. Wakanda, isn't that from the movie Black Panther? But that's what it looks like here. It says, on April 20th, 2014, a woman named Paula was sitting near a window in the bottom of her ground-level apartment near the Lakewood Forest Preserve in Wakanda when she saw a bright beam of light come shooting down across the street at around 11 p.m. So again, just like the Van Meter visitor, this thing can project light out of its horn. Is this another one of those things? Is it the same creatures? They're like, maybe these things live 500 or 600 years. I don't know. She said it was so bright and defined The light, which lasted between 15 to 20 seconds, was an orange gold in color, and it did not illuminate its surroundings, nor did it move much, making only a slight side-to-side or back-and-forth motion. The light retracted at one point, only to reappear a moment later. Paula fell back onto her bed in shock, she claims. She says, "Oh my God, this thing, it sees me." This is what she said she remembered thinking. She said, "I had the deepest feeling that this thing, it saw me, that it knows." But the light retracted a final time and was gone. She said that I heard a hum at the end, just before it took off. Now, 2 years later, in 2016, also on April 20th, Paula encountered a terrifying winged being in the same area. She was taking the garbage out just before 6 a.m. when something drew her eye from across the street. In the early morning gloom, she saw a huge winged being. Paula described the being as perhaps 7 to 8 feet tall when standing erect, but it carried itself hunched over, limping along. She'd said this thing, it was completely black, and from what she could see, its upper body and head were covered in hair. The being had long, leathery-like wings, which were partially wrapped around its body as it moved towards Paula. Jumping forward, similarly to watching someone move through a strobe light, the terrifying creature made an unnatural groaning noise as it advanced. You know, with the hairy body and the wings wrapping around itself and being black in color, it kind of reminds me of a bat, right? Like you've seen the way bats sleep upside down, how they'll wrap their wings around their bodies. You know, what is this thing, a bat squatch? Paula said that she felt a palpable sense of evil emanating from the bat-winged monster. She said, "All I kept telling myself is, this thing, whatever this is evil. I'm literally seeing evil." Now, fearing for her safety, she quickly turned to flee back into her apartment. After fumbling with her keys for a moment, she opened the door and turned around, terrified that the creature might be right behind her. But it wasn't. She said it was gone. Paula said that she only knew a few of her neighbors personally, and unfortunately, the ones she knew had not witnessed either event, although one of her neighbors with whom she was friends did take her encounters seriously. "I don't know what to say," Paula said later of her experiences, "but I know what I saw." Check this one out. Spring 2010. Again, Joliet, Illinois. This person says, "I believe I may have seen one of those winged humanoids about 10 years ago in Joliet, Illinois. It was about 2 a.m., near the end of March or the beginning of April. I was watching TV with the window open slightly. I kept hearing a muffled cry, almost like a woman crying in the distance. I finally decided to look out the window and then go to the back door to see what it was. I was looking all over the backyard and the neighboring yards, but I didn't see anything. When I was about to give up, I heard the noise again. I noticed that it was coming from above me. That's when I looked up, and I noticed something about 4 foot tall sitting on the peak of the house behind me. I grabbed my phone so that I could take a picture, but when I was about to take the photo, it turned its head to look at me. I'll be honest, it scared the crap out of me. Then it dropped like it fell. Right before it hit the ground, its wings came out, and it swooped away. I couldn't believe how big the wingspan was." Here's another sighting. August 2018, Hammond, Indiana. It was August of 2018. My wife and I were driving south on Calmette Avenue, and we were coming up to the red light at the 131st Street when we heard what sounded like leather rustling. We looked to the retention pond to our left and saw glowing red, what am I going to assume were eyes, and saw a large, bat-like creature take to the skies. It was dark-colored and easily had to be about 6 feet or more tall. And this form I could make out, it had crazy-looking wings. The wingspan had to be close to 10 feet or even more. About a week or so later, I was driving with my colleague in the South Shore Ghostbusters. This time, we saw the same creature atop the Klein Avenue overpass. It looked like it was eating something. It had something in its hands. We turned around only to see it take off into the skies once more. Now, we've been investigating this area and found that this creature sticks close to the water. We've heard multiple accounts of people seeing red glowing eyes over the waters. The last sighting was June of this year. What are people seeing? And why the different colored eyes? Glowing green eyes, this time glowing red eyes. You know, why the differences? Why do sometimes people see yellow eyes? Like, are these different things? Are they all the same things? I don't know, but that's winged humanoids. Now, moving on to a similar subject, but different, are the sightings of living pterosaurs. Now, there's an author who, by the name of Jonathan David Whitcomb, and he's written a book called Pterosaurs in America. I think I'm going to be picking that up soon to do some sightings out of there as well. But you can get that book on Amazon. But he said in a blog that he wrote that most eyewitnesses of apparent pterosaurs tell nobody about their strange encounters, except maybe one or two close friends or close family members. He writes in his blog that, are you one of the few lucky or unlucky persons who has seen something like a pterodactyl or any large featherless flying creature that was unlike a bat? If something like a winged monster has flown into your life experience, it does not throw your sanity into doubt. It's okay. You're not alone. And do not doubt yourself. Believe that the world of life is bigger than what has been portrayed to us in Western culture. He's absolutely right. That's what we talk about on the show. You know, people come to me all the time and tell me about their encounters, whether face-to-face, whether over the phone, whether through an email. And who am I to sit here and say that what they saw, that didn't happen? I don't know what they saw. And I know a lot of them are sincere. People have seen strange things. And why and where, you know, that's one thing I always tell people. I don't have any answers, right? I'm just relaying the stories to all of y'all. I'm not a cryptozoologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a researcher. I simply am somebody that retells strange and crazy stories that are sent to me. Anyways, back to my point. This was a sighting of an actual pterosaur. You know, I mentioned earlier about the Ropin, the Indava bird, and Pollination. You can go back and listen to our Pollination interview. We even replayed a classic rewind not too long ago with Pollination. Pretty cool stuff. This happened in Papua New Guinea back in 1944. Now this, of course, must be the most famous pterodactyl sighting of the past 100 years. I place it on a pedestal as one of the four key sightings in the Southwest Pacific. So much has been written about it that we'll examine a few details here. Check this out. It says two American soldiers were stationed in Fischhafen, New Guinea, on the mainland of the largest tropical island in the world. Now, at that time, in 1944, no Japanese were left in that area. So the two men were granted permission to hike up to a local village to the west. In a jungle clearing, about 100 feet in diameter, they both witnessed something huge take off into the air. Dwayne Hodgkinson, then a weather observer for the artillery, took 6 decades before he came forward with his sighting. The creature ran through the grass, he claims, with long legs, clearly not to be confused with a long tail. Hodgkinson could see that the legs during the running on takeoff were about 3 to 4 foot long. He estimated the tail to be at least 10 or 15 feet long, and he was certain that he had not confused the legs for a tail. Hodgkinson was concentrating on the head, especially on the long appendage that was like a horn, held parallel to the long neck of the pterodactyl, again with the horn. The wingspan appeared to him to be the same as that of a private airplane. He would later own a Piper Tri-Pacer, and he considered the wingspan 29 feet to be very similar of the flying creature that he encountered west of Fischhafen in 1944. So, maybe there's no more pterosaurs now, but perhaps back in 1944 there were still a few left in Papua New Guinea. I don't know. I know it's a romantic idea. I personally like to believe that there were some then. I like to believe that they're still out there now. A small population of them living in remote Papua New Guinea. Wouldn't that be so cool? Here's a sighting of another pterosaur. On March 23rd, 2013, a man was driving on Interstate 540 on the north side of Raleigh, North Carolina, at about sunset, when something strange flew right in front of his car. With a wingspan of about 5 to 6 feet, it had a long tail that ended in a spade, and this thing had a crest on its head, something like claws in its mid-wing, and a complete lack of feathers. He said it gave him a shock. I can only imagine. In northern Minnesota, three eyewitnesses saw a creature gliding across the highway. This time, the flying creature had reddish-brown, leather-type skin with no feathers. It had bat-like wings, and again, a crest on its head, a mouth full of small teeth in the back and larger in the front. It also had long legs and a long tail. Both legs and tail, no confusion apparent between them. The tail, again, had a spade-shaped thing on the end of it. So here's two different sightings in two different parts of America, right? One taking place in North Carolina and one taking place in Minnesota. But the description, other than the color, is almost identical. Large wings, spade at the end of its tail, crest on top of its head. Is it the same thing, or are there lots of these things? I don't know. Here's another one from October 22nd, 2002, Shell Island Nature Preserve in Florida. The person says, we were vacationing in Panama City Beach, Florida, and had decided to boat out to Shell Island, a nature preserve, arriving just an hour before sunset. Sunset came and went, and just before darkness began to fall, we returned to the boat, which we had to wade to from shore. We had to drop anchor 20 feet offshore for fear of getting caught on the sandbar. Now, this was October 22nd, 2002. It was a clear day in the 80s. As we waded out to the boat and were getting in, we saw the craziest sight. All the birds and wildlife took off at once and scattered in every direction from the spot we had just come. The sound and sight immediately drew our full attention. We then observed the thing waddle out from the brush. This was a small, 1.7 to 8 foot tall, judging from the bush height along the shore. Our cameras were in the boats since we had gone to Shell Island for a little metal detecting and beach combing. This thing looked directly at us and paced back and forth along the shore for approximately the distance of about 30 feet in total. We didn't want to wait around to get a better view of it. Once we saw the head crest, I tell you, it was a pterosaur. If the sightings only happened in the USA or on one or two occasions, then I can understand this tendency to dismiss the reports of those remote-controlled engineering creations, causing confusion for any unwitting observers. But this is not the case. What we saw was flesh and blood. What we saw was real. There are hundreds of these documented sightings. I've been looking into it. It's close to unbelievable in the mainstream modern Western world, but the evidence suggests that a bizarre creature which once mimicked a pterosaur millions of years ago has outlived its prehistoric companions. These sightings are real. Now, this comes from an anonymous person going by the initials AL. I don't know. So here in Florida, again, this thing had a crest. Check this one out. This one's from April 2012 in Central Arkansas. It says, I decided that I needed to go to the grocery store to pick up a few things. I was out in the country, driving slowly, all alone, going over a bridge at about 2 p.m. on a perfect sunny springtime afternoon. It was April 2012. When all of a sudden, I see something coming up from underneath the bridge. From out of the passenger seat window and about 5 or 6 feet from me, I can see something that's medium gray. As it came up a little bit more, I could see part of a wing, part of a beak, part of a head crest, and one big gold eye. It looked as if it was struggling to get up over that bridge and up over my truck because of its heavy weight. As I slowed down even more and looked at it closely, the first thought to enter my mind was prehistoric. And my second thought was, it looks like something that shouldn't still be living today. My third thought was this is some type of prehistoric bird. I then watched out of the windshield as it flew up over my truck, up into the sky, and off toward a wooded area southward. It seemed as if everything was in slow motion as I watched it fly up above my truck and fly away. I watched its wings above me and how they looked and how they moved. They moved like a muscular wave from one end of the wing to the tip. The wings were thick like a steak and were shaped like an airplane's wings. The wings had three sections to them, with black creases or wrinkles running down them. And on the middle outside of the wings were what looked like fringes or fingers. I then noticed the torso, how big it was, and that it was shaped kind of like an egg. I observed the head and the crest, and how strange it looked on top of the head, and how it kind of bounced up and down as the creature flew. I also noticed the long length of the neck. The legs were just floated in the air and kind of bounced on each side of the tail. The tail had a large, heart-looking shape at the end of it. The beast had no feathers, and that it was probably as big as a small airplane, and bigger than my little Chevy S10 pickup. I was in some kind of shock the rest of the day, just walking around and trying to function in some kind of daze, going through the motions, but only really halfway there. My mind was trying to come to terms with what I had seen. I contacted two of my friends, who suggested that what I had really seen was a heron, an albatross, or a pelican, or some other local big bird, even though I told them that this creature was huge, not big, and had no feathers at all. I don't know what they think I saw, but I know what I saw, and what I saw was a pterodactyl. Again, heart-shaped thing at the end of its tail, like a spade, a crest on the head. Why are so many people from different parts of the world, especially in the U.S., are seeing pterodactyls when we know that pterodactyls, you know, had feathers? So is it something that's some kind of illusion, some kind of thought form that everybody's projecting because when they were kids, they saw these dinosaur movies with pterodactyls and pterosaurs because at that time they thought they were featherless. Well, now we know the difference, but yet people are still seeing them. Are there still some Indava birds or ropen still living in the jungles of Indonesia or perhaps South America? Or perhaps just living in caves throughout the world? I don't know, but I'm fascinated. That's about all we have for this segment. Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
We're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yes, crazy winged things seen. I don't know what these are, whether it's flying humanoids, whether it's pterosaurs. The list goes on and on. What are these things? Why are people seeing them? Are they harbingers of death? Are they early warning signs? Are they just trained observers? Like, what is it?
This is one of those perfect examples that I didn't know what Kyle was talking about. And then I've got this story and then it works perfect.
Yeah. Now this is the story you were going to tell us before we took the break. Yeah. Go ahead and lay it on me.
Okay. This is the one we've talked about. This is a gargoyle sighting.
Yeah. I love gargoyle sightings. Yeah.
Over across the pond, folks, it says, whatever you want to think is okay. But I assure you that the following is true. Some time ago, a friend and I were driving home on a rural road here in, I want to say it's Tyne and Wear in the UK, or maybe it's Tinney, but I know it's, well, I can't say it's Wear because y'all have the Thames or Thames River or what is it?
Thames River. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says it was about 4 a.m. on a misty, cold winter's night. My friend was driving slowly as there was ice and hard snow as we approached a junction. I was in the passenger seat on the left side of the car in the UK. From the right of the car, just in front, I saw a winged creature about no more than 1.5 to 2 foot in length. It came flying across the road towards the car. Now, it was white, and it appeared opaque with a human-like face. Its wings were flapping, actually flying, and its knees drawn up, head forward, chattering and pointing ahead as if it was scolding someone or complaining to itself. Whatever it was, it took no notice of us as we drove slowly forward to the turn at the junction. It flew directly into the lights in front of the car on the driver's side. There was no sound or sign that we had hit anything, and it was simply gone. We didn't stop. I looked at my friend and said, "Did you see what I saw?" He said, "A winged thing," and kept driving. We've spoken about this many times, but never solved the mystery as to what it was or how it was there. Now, recently, I've looked on the internet, and the only image that I can find that's pretty close to what I saw is a statue of a devil-like gargoyle. So here it is. This is what it looked like. The face wasn't so extreme, but hey, this is just a statue on the wall. Any sensible help and explanations are welcome. So, of course, you can go in there. It's basically any little crouched up, tiny, knees drawn in, little gargoyle, a little 2 foot tall, white.
Yeah.
So, again, the only thing I could think of, and I'm not saying this is what it is. I'm not even trying to change this. The only thing that you could possibly, in the heat of the moment, and I don't know that that was this, that you could probably mistaken for this, would be like a white owl, would it not? Like,
yes.
You might be able to mistaken a white owl for it. But when you start talking about the face, and then they said the fact that it's pointing. Well, if it's pointing, it's got arms and a hand.
Yeah.
Right? And its knees are drawn up, this whole thing. So if it flew by quickly and you didn't have that detail, you could be like, well, it was a gargoyle or it was a white owl. But when you start throwing that detail down, and then the fact that it disappeared when it flew into the light, mm-hmm. the headlights of the front of the car. So either real easy, I've thought about this. If you've got your headlights on, right, and it's at night, and it's pitch black except for those headlights. If you were to whip, let's say, a solid white piece of poster board in front of a headlight, right?
Yeah,
I'm with you. It makes kind of a glare.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Boom, it's real bright. Boom, the light's reflecting. Then you may not see that it just went down beside the car and went off the back. If you just flash that and then took off, right?
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to blind you, but maybe you're caught up in the moment you don't know. Maybe that's all it was. That thing flew along the side of the car and was gone. Or it used the light as a doorway to go into whatever realm it comes out of.
Maybe.
I don't know. Just some crazy explanations. But there's another winged humanoid figure.
Yeah.
I this love time the, in the UK.
I love the stories of the gargoyles, right? It's crazy. Like, what could people, honestly, what could people be mistaking that for?
There's, look, I've.
And does it seem to you like more and more sightings are happening?
I think more and more, either it's ramping up or just more and more people are finally talking about it, like we've always discussed, is with because of the popularity of these shows on podcasts and on YouTube, people are more apt to share the minute they see something crazy. Mm. Where 20 years ago, it wasn't that way.
I agree with you.
You had to pry it out of people. Whereas now, if it happened last night, you could jump on there. We may end up getting it. I mean, we get messages all the time and emails and stuff all the time from people that it just happened to them like this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
But it does. I don't want to say it's ramping up in frequency just because we're getting more stories over about it. I just think it's becoming people are more and more aware.
Yeah, probably so.
That's what I'm
the popularity of podcasts and stuff like that.
If you want to have some fun, you're in the DFW area, you're in the great state of Texas on October 28th, make sure you stop by Panther Island Brewing for our live show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We're going to have a good time, and they've ramped it up. They're having costume contests. They're having all kinds of stuff at the Halloween Bash at Panther Island Brewing, and we're going to be there live. So y'all come join us Friday, the 28th of October at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be out there talking, telling stories, visiting with everybody. It's going to be basically this podcast with all of y'all in a brewery. So
yeah.
It'll be a good time.
What could go wrong?
Jesus, right? Everything.
If you have any stories you'd like to share with Cam and I, email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our incredible sponsors. If you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. Word. Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/expanded. And also don't forget about Microdose. It's available nationwide. You just got to go to microdose.com and use the code expanded to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. That's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.